Catering. Okay. Okay, so we're continuing on with Malachas Borer. We're almost done with this Malacha. We, after tonight's shiur, we're probably going to have one last shiur to finish up Borer, and then we'll be up to our next Malacha, which is going to be Tochein. Let's just... okay. So... okay, just muting everybody. You can, everyone can unmute themselves. I'm just muting it to get rid of the background noise. Okay, so last week we got our introduction to the famous three conditions of Borer, the three conditions that if you satisfy these three requirements, then Borer becomes permissible. And that is if condition number one, if you do it with your hand as opposed to with a kli. Condition number two is if you take the good stuff out of the mixture as opposed to the bad stuff. And the third condition is if you do it for immediate use, as opposed to doing it for later on. If you fulfill all three conditions, you separate with your hand, taking out the ochel from the mixture, and you do it for immediate use, so then we saw that Borer becomes permissible. And last week, aside from having our general introduction to the three conditions, we also refined the third condition. The third condition being the need for immediacy. We discussed the parameters of immediacy. How quickly do you need to use that item being separated to constitute immediate use? At what point is it too late that it's called la'achar zman, would it be a problem of meleches borer? So that's what we did last week. Now, what remains to be done in finishing up this part of the sugya, which will get us closer to the finish line, is refining our first two conditions. The first condition being the need to use your hand as opposed to a kli, and the second condition being the need to do it to remove the ochel from the mixture as opposed to the psoles. So we're going to see that there's some very important practical refinements that need to be made in these first two conditions. So that's the goal for tonight's shiur. So to do this, we're going to move over now to a Gemara on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis has a small, very important piece of Gemara that's going to shed light on these two conditions. So fine. So moving over now to the Gemara there on Kuf Lamed Tes. The Gemara there brings the following, I guess, historical point. Gemara tells us that in Rav Papa's household, when the family members wanted to pour beer from one container to another container, so if they did it on Shabbos, they would do it gently. On Shabbos, they would pour beer gently from one vessel to another vessel. And it's clear from the Gemara that they were trying to circumvent something. Why were they doing it gently? And so Rashi and Mefarshim explained that the issue on the table that they were trying to circumvent was Meleches Borer. That in that first container of beer, so aside from the beer, there's also sediment. And so we now have a mixture of ochel and psoles. The beer in the container is the good stuff, that's the ochel of the mixture. The sediment is the stuff that's undesirable, that's the psoles in the mixture. We have a potential mixture of ochel and psoles that's subject to borer. If you pour out the beer, you're separating the beer from the psoles. Maybe that should be a problem of meleches borer. So Gemara explains that in order to circumvent this issue, they poured out the beer gently. What did that accomplish? So the Mefarshim explained that the case was where the sediment had settled already to the bottom of the barrel. And so by pouring out the beer gently, they're able to just pour out the upper portion of the beer that wasn't mixed with the sediment. Since the upper portion of the beer wasn't mixed with the sediment, so apparently that's not subject to borer. Although the beer and the sediment are in the same container, but since the mice of the sediment was at the bottom, and this beer is at the top, not mixed with the sediment, so they were allowed to pour that out on Shabbos, that was not a problem of Meleches Borer. Had they not done so gently, had they done it aggressively, they may have agitated the sediment, they may have stirred up the sediment from the bottom, and then it would have mixed with the beer, and that would have been an issue of Borer if they pour out the beer and leave behind the sediment. But since they did so gently, so they're able to ensure that the sediment remained at the bottom, they poured out the top, there's no issue of Borer. That's the basic incident, that the historical fact of how Rav Papa's household would pour beer from one container to another. And then the Gemara asks one question just to finish off the Shakla Vatari there. The Gemara says, well, wait a second. This whole operation is only going to work to pour the upper part of the beer out of the container. But as they continue pouring and pouring and pouring, at some point they're going to get to the droplets at the bottom of the barrel. These droplets at the bottom of the barrel are mixed with the sediment. And if they keep pouring out to the point of pouring out these droplets at the bottom of the barrel, let that be a problem of Meleches Borer by separating the droplets from the sediment. So Gemara answers that no problem, they're able to avoid that issue as well. Because in Rav Papa's household, they didn't bother collecting the droplets at the bottom of the barrel. Rapapa was a beer merchant. They had lots of beer to go around. They didn't bother groping for the little droplets at the bottom of the barrel. They poured out the upper portion, which wasn't mixed with the sediment. And then when they got to the bottom, they discarded the droplets together with the sediment. So that's the basic shakavatari here of this Gemara on Kuf Lamates Omabes, telling us this historical fact of how Rav Papa's household, once again, would transfer beer from one container to another on Shabbos to circumvent Melechas Borer. Comes along the Machetz at Shekel, and he asks like a Bam Kasha on this Gemara, which is going to open up the whole discussion for tonight, and which ultimately is going to have very practical ramifications of the Halacha. That the Machetz at Shekel was a very important commentary on the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham lived around in the 1600s or so, the end of the 1600s, something like that. And the Machetz Shekel is a very important commentary on the Magen Avraham. And Shinya Tesif Katan Tesvav, he really raises a Bam Kash in this Gemara. Says the Machetz Shekel, what's going on? In this case, it's clear from this Gemara that in principle, pouring out the beer would be a problem of Melechas Borer. That the Gemara is telling us that if the beer would have been mixed with the sediment and he'd pour out the beer from the mixture, that would be a problem of Melechas Borer. It's just that they were able to circumvent it because the top portion of the beer wasn't mixed with the sediment. The bottom portion, which was mixed, they didn't pour out. But it's clear that had the beer been mixed with the sediment, and had they poured out the beer and left behind the sediment, there would be a problem of Melechas Borer. But ask the Machetz at Shekel, what's going on? I thought we have a rule that if you satisfy all three conditions, Borer is permissible. Well, this case seems to satisfy all three conditions. So let's go through the three conditions and point out how this case seems to have all three conditions. Starting with the first condition, that you need to use your hand as opposed to a kli to perform the separation for Borer to be mutter. Well, in this case, when they're pouring the beer out of the barrel, so they're not using a utensil to strain the beer and to separate the beer from the sediment. They're just pouring out the beer and leaving the sediment behind. So, l'chora, we satisfy condition number one. The second condition is that you have to take the good stuff from the mixture and not the bad stuff. Well, here, they're pouring out the beer and leaving the sediment behind. So, l'chora, we satisfy condition number two. They're separating out the ochel, which is the beer, and leaving behind the sediment, which is the psoles. So, l'chora, we have condition number two. And finally, moving over to condition number three, the need for immediacy. You have to do it for immediate use. Well, we don't see any disclaimer in the Gemara, any point that they didn't specifically do this for immediate use. Presumably, they did it even for immediate use. And yet, there was a concern from Lechus Borer. But why was that? This case has all three conditions, seemingly. They're doing it by hand. They're taking the good stuff from the mixture. They're doing it for immediate use. Why is there an issue of Borer in this situation that they have to be so careful to circumvent? That was the big-time kasha of the Machetz at Shekel on this Gemara. So we're going to have three basic approaches in the Achronim for how to deal with the kasha of the Machetz at Shekel. The first approach is the approach of the Magen Avraham in his Havamina. Ultimately, the Machetz at Shekel is just expelling out the Magen Avraham, but approach one is really the Magen Avraham in his Havamina, and it's fleshed out by the Machetz at Shekel. He does reject this Havamina ultimately, but it's really just on technical grounds, and it's a very important Havamina that's going to have very practical insights. The second approach we're going to have is going to be the approach of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Shulchan Aruch Harav has something that's what's called his Siddur. He wrote a type of Siddur, and in this compilation, he has a certain approach, a certain halacha that's going to set up a second approach in this issue. And our third approach is going to be the Maskana of the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is in Shini Tes, Sefkat and Tesvav, and the third approach is going to be his Maskana. And we're going to see that all three of these approaches are going to pick on a different one of our three conditions, and they're going to try to contend that this case is lacking in one of those three conditions. And so that's why this case was an issue of Melechas Borer. So that's the overview of where we're headed. Any questions on the facts before we continue spelling out the shitas? Are we good? Penny, can I get a thumbs up? Yeah. Okay, good. Excellent. That's going to be our first approach. That's exactly where we're headed. Excellent. Any other questions? Oh, Michael, Dr. Pla. Unless that's a thumbs up. Thank you. I appreciate it. I need the encouragement. Fine. Okay. So let's start with approach number one. The Havamina of the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham, it's spelled out again by the Machetz at Shekel. The reason the Machetz at Shekel wrote his commentary is because the Magen Avraham is famous for being extremely shorthanded. So the Machetz at Shekel really just fleshes out everything that he says. But the first approach comes back to the Magen Avraham and his Havamina. So the Magen Avraham has a Havamina to say exactly what Pini just said. That the reason that there was an issue of Borer in this situation, that we don't have our three conditions, is because of condition number one, that we're going to be lacking in our first condition, the need to separate by hand, the prohibition to separate using a kli, says the Magen Avraham, we're lacking in condition number one, in his havamin. Why are we lacking condition number one? So exactly as Pini just said, that what's going on in this situation, we have a beer barrel, we're tilting the beer barrel to pour out the beer and leave the sediment behind. So there, he's not using his hand to, you know, to pull out the beer and leave behind the sediment. He's tilting this barrel. This barrel is a vessel. He's tilting the barrel to let the beer go out, to let the sediment stay behind. Since it's being done through the means of this barrel, let's call this separating through a kli. And so therefore suggests the Magen Avraham that this is going to be aser based on lacking condition number one. This is separating through a kli. You're not separating by hand. You're tilting the barrel to cause the separation. Therefore, that's why it was a problem of Meleches Borer. So that is approach number one. Now, ultimately, the Magen Avraham rejects this approach really because of a technicality. He feels that there's a Shitas HaRif, which I put on the Maram Komos, that's not working with approach one, and that's why he's going to come to approach three later on. But in Sfar, he has no logical problems with his first approach, and we're going to have to analyze the Havamin in this first approach because it has very practical ramifications. Let's move over now to our second approach to finish laying out the Shitas. The second approach is the approach of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav isn't directly commenting on our Gemara, but he states a halacha, which the Achronim point out is really rooted in a second approach in our Gemara. And this is going to revolve around now factor number two, condition number two. What's our second condition? That you need to separate the ochel from the mixture and not the psolas. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Rav has a unique shita about this second condition, which is going to set up our second approach, which is going to contend that we're lacking in the second condition in our situation. Because what's going on in our case? So you're pouring out the beer from the barrel and leaving behind the sediment. So there's a very famous issue on this exact situation concerning which of these two components is the one being separated from this mixture. Do we view it like the beer is being separated from this mixture? Do we view it like the sediment is being separated from this mixture? See, in a typical case, if you just actively stick your hand into a mixture and pull something out, obviously the item that you're pulling out is what's being removed from the mixture. But in this case, you're not actively pulling either of these components out of the mixture. You're tilting the barrel, the beer goes one way, the sediment remains behind. Which of these two components is the item being separated from the mixture? So when I set up the question, I just, you know, tried to pull a fast one. I said intuitively, we'd all kind of think that the beer is what's being separated out of the mixture. You're pouring out the beer. So we should view like the beer is what's being removed from the mixture. And therefore, you should have condition number two. We're removing the ochel from this mixture. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says not like that. Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that in this type of situation, we view it like the sediment is the component being removed from the mixture. We're going to have to see why that is, but he feels that in this case, the sediment is what you're kind of removing from the mixture. You're kind of shaking off the beer. The sediment is what you're kind of pulling out. And therefore, we actually treat it like you're pulling the psolas out of this mixture. That is a shita of Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And so the Divrei Nechemia spells out that according to the second approach, so according to the Shita Shulchan Aruch HaRav, we have now a second approach in our Gemara. You know why there's a problem with Borer in this situation? Because we're lacking in condition number two. When they poured out the beer and left behind the sediment, so according to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, we view it like you're pulling the sediment out of the mixture, you're kind of shaking off the beer and pulling out the sediment, and therefore this is separating the psolas from this mixture. We're lacking condition number two. That's why there was an issue of Borer in this situation. So that is approach number two in our spectrum of shitas in this Gemara. And finally, now we go over to approach number three, which was the maskana of the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham, the maskana, does not like our first two approaches. He doesn't like his havamina, and he doesn't say approach two, so he obviously doesn't like approach two, and therefore he says approach three. And that is to simply say that we're going to be lacking in condition number three. Our third condition is the need for immediacy. Borer is only mutter if you do it for immediate use. Says the Magen Avraham, Lamaskana, that the reason there was an issue of borer in this situation is in ukimta. We're going to establish the case as being where they poured the beer for later use. They did it l'achar zman. They didn't do it for immediate use. And that's where there was a problem of borer in this situation. So those are the three basic shitos in this Gemara to how to deal with the kasha of the Machatz Shekel. Actually, Machatz Shekel came after the Magen Avraham, but he's the one who flushes out the kasha. How do we deal with the kasha of the Machatz Shekel? When Rav Papa's household poured out the beer, why were they concerned for borer because of this mixture of beer and sediment? Don't we have all three conditions? Three approaches, each of them arguing that we're lacking in a different condition. The first approach being the Magen Avraham and the Havamina, we're lacking condition number one. This is called separating by means of a kli, because they're using this vessel to pour out the beer. Look, they're using an instrumentation of this kli to pour out the beer. That's Shita number one. Approach number two is the Shulchan Aruch Rav. We're lacking in condition number two, that this is called separating the psolus out of the mixture. When they pour out the beer and the sediment remains behind, we view it like they're yanking out the psolus there and shaking off the beer, and therefore we're lacking in condition number two. And approach number three, the Magen Avraham, they were lacking in condition number three, because simply ukimta, the case was that they didn't do it for immediate use. Now we'll just stop for a moment to take questions before we continue with the analysis. Yeah, Penny. Oh, so pouring it gently actually has nothing to do with these three approaches. Pouring it gently is meant for a different consideration, and that is to make sure that the sediment is at the bottom. In other words, at the end of the day, there is going to be an issue of borer in this situation. At the end of the day, if the beer is mixed with sediment, there would be a problem of borer to pour out the beer and let the sediment stay behind, because we're going to be lacking in one of the three conditions. So to avoid this borer issue, they kept the sediment was settled at the bottom. They just carefully poured out the top portion, which wasn't mixed with the sediment. So they were able to accomplish the borer by just pouring out beer, the portion that wasn't mixed with the sediment. But for our purposes, the diuk is that had it been mixed with the sediment, there would have been an issue of borer. Why so? Don't you have all three conditions? It must be you don't have all three conditions. And so that's the issue that we're trying to figure out. Yeah, Dr. Plough. All situations. Saying. Okay, you're saying it's all situations. It's all situations. All situations includes not just speed. Okay, good point. Fair enough. Fair point. It's a nice point to try to help out the Magen Avraham a little bit in approach three. Ultimately, he's limiting the case, but you're right. Absolutely. Are you saying he's including more cases? He's saying the kasha was for the other situations. Yeah, Mordechai. Nice. That's a very, very nice diak. That's a very nice diak. So the truth is that you could be medayik to Rishonim on this issue. There's a riff and a rush. I put on the Marmakomos, and that's a very nice diak in Rashi. The Achronim just spell it out explicitly, so that's why I'm just going to the Achronim, because they're clear. Rishonim we could argue on. You're probably right, but just for the sake of being absolutely on the ball, that's why I'm quoting the Achronim. But that's a very nice diak. So let's start the analysis now. So there are two basic issues that have to be analyzed. The first issue is going to revolve around the Chiddush in approach one. In approach one, the Magen Avraham was contending in his Havamina that there was an issue of Borer Bekli in the situation, since you're tilting this barrel to pour out the beer. So look, you're using the means of this barrel. This should be called Borer Bekli, lacking condition number one. And obviously the other Achronim, and particularly the Magen Avraham himself and his Maskana, are not working with approach one. We have a machlokes as to if this is called Borer Bekli or not. Do we have condition number one? Do we not have condition number one? So that's the first issue we have to analyze. What's the Hesber in that machlokes? And then the second issue we're going to have to deal with is revolving around approach number two. The Shulchan Aruch Rav in approach two is setting down another Chiddush, that when you pour out the beer, you leave behind the sediment. We're lacking condition two, because we view it like you're pulling out the sediment from this mixture. And obviously, the other Achronim, the Magen Avraham, are arguing on that. They're saying that in this situation, we view it like you're pouring the beer out of this mixture, which Mordechai is also trying to say that in Rashi, but you're pouring the beer out of this mixture. That's the section that you're removing, the component you're removing from this mixture. And so the second issue is figuring out what's the Hesber in that Machlokas. Okay, so that's the agenda for the remainder of this year. Fine, so let's start with issue number one. So let's just zero in one more time on the first issue, and then we'll start the analysis. So one more time, again, we're in the Magen Avraham's Havamina now, approach one. The Magen Avraham's contending that this is lacking in condition one because you're tilting the barrel. That's, look, you're using this kli to separate. Other Achron and Magen Avraham's Maskana say that it's not called using a kli to separate. That's not subject to this Isra de Rabbanan. The question is, what's the Hesber in that Machlokas? Fine. So before we're able to just discuss the Nekudas HaMachlokas, we have to just first give some basic background information, which is going to narrow down the issue at hand. And that is going to be based on our Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph tells us a very important fact just to help narrow down our discussion here in issue one. And that is that our first condition, which tells us that you can't use a kli to separate, you have to use your hand. Our first condition is only an issue on a deraisa level if you use specific types of instruments, which is a kli hamiyucha lekach, a kli that's designed for separation. If you have a kli that's designed, its purpose, its function is to separate, and you use it for separation, that will be failing in the first condition on a deraisa level. That'll be an issue of borer midaraisa. But if you use other types of instruments, they're not designed for separation, but you just make a makeshift kli out of it to separate, you use it to separate, that's not going to be aser midaraisa. So for example, the case in the Gemara is a napa vikvara, a sifter and a sieve. These are instruments that are meant to separate. That's the function of these items. A sifter is meant to separate. If you use that, that'll be subject to borer on a deraisa level based on lacking condition number one. But on a deraisa level, any other type of instrument that's not meant to separate, that it's not its design purpose, is not going to be subject to borer midaraisa. However, the Gemara tells us that midarabanan Chazal extended this first condition. That midarabanan, they also prohibited other types of instruments, even if it's not designed for Breira. For example, the Gemara tells us that on a derabanan level, a kanon would be usur. What's a kanon? So a kanon is a type of a funnel, Rashi tells us, which was wide on one end and thin on the other. Now, this funnel was not meant for separation. Whatever its purpose was, Rashi talks about these coin merchants or whatever, using them. But whatever the purpose of this funnel was, people would use it as a makeshift device to sift or to separate. What they do is they would put their mixture on one side, the big end of the funnel, they'd shake it around, and somehow that would cause one component of the mixture to roll down, one component would stay at the top, and it could be used to separate. But since this isn't the design of the kanon, it's just meant for some other purpose, it was used for the breira, so it was asered midarabanan. So that's just the Gemara 9 Dalab and Aleph for pointing out that midaraisa, the first condition, only applies if it's a kli hamiyucha lekach, if it's designed for separation. But if it's not designed for separation, it's not an Isser Deraisa, but there's still an Isser Derabanan on the table that Chazal Midarabanan answered other types of implements. So coming back to our situation, this is just going to narrow down the playing field here, the issue on the table. In our case, so we're talking about pouring beer out of a barrel and leaving sediment behind. And the issue at hand is, well, maybe we should view this as separating by means of utensil because the beer barrel is being used to pour out the beer and to leave behind the sediment. Now, obviously, in this situation, this is not going to be an issue midaraisa, because the beer barrel, the function of a beer barrel is not to separate. The function of a beer barrel is to contain the beer. It's not. Its design is not meant to be a kli hamiyucha lekach to separate. The issue at hand is on a derabanan level. The issue is going to become whether the iser derabanan of Chazal to answer other instruments, whether that's applying in this situation. Magen Avraham is having a thought that it will apply in this situation. Since the Maaser are using this kli to pour out the beer, this should be subject to the iser derabanan, just like the funnel. And the other achron in the maskana of the Magen Avraham is that this is not subject to that iser derabanan. So that's just narrowing down the point of contention where we realize now we're trying to figure out the Isser Derabanan of Chazal. What was the gather? What was the scope of Chazal's Isser Derabanan? Should include this situation or not? Ari, I see a thumbs up. Was that a question? Okay, so that's it. So that's an interesting question. Right. Here, it's an interesting question. It's certainly not the main function of a beer barrel. You're saying, well, what if back then they typically used it for that purpose? The Gemara itself talks about strainers all over the place. So it would seem to be that the strainer was the device that they were using to separate. The Riff himself, on this exact case, talks about what if you'd have a strainer in the case. So it doesn't seem to be that was the case. But you're raising an interesting question, just Tom. Can you make something into a kli hamiyucha lekach if you start using it for that sole purpose? So that's an interesting point. But it seems to be clear from the Achronim that this is not being treated as a deraisa issue. It's being treated as a derabanan issue, that we're trying to figure out the derabanan of Chazal. But the point is well taken. So the question is, what's the point of contention in this machlokes? So this is not going to be a huge conceptual machlokes, but it's going to be very, very nogea l'halachas. We have to make sure to understand both sides very, very well, because it's going to have major ramifications in the halacha. And if we mess this one up, then we may end up being way too machmir this upcoming Shabbos. So let's start with the sheet of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is Havamina. So he was understanding that the Isser Derabanan of Chazal was a very broad Isser. And that was to any act of carrying out Breira with the Kli is Asser Derabanan. To carry out an act of separation with the Kli is Asser Derabanan. That was the Havamina of the Magen Avraham. To use a Kli to separate. And so therefore, he thought that just like if you use your funnel, you put your mixture in your funnel, you shake it around, and you're separating this mixture, that was asrid mid the rabbanon, because you're carrying out this brera through the means of a kli. So too, why should our case be any different? When I pour out the beer from the beer barrel and the sediment remains behind, I'm carrying out this separation through the means of this kli, that should be asr derabanan. That was the havamina of the Magen Avraham. To carry out the brayer with the kli is asr derabanan. The big question is, what's the maskana? We got to get the maskana correct if we're going to know how to paskin lahalach. What was the maskana of the Magen Avraham? Why is this case not subject to brayer midirabanan? How do we distinguish between this case and the case with the funnel? Does anyone want to try to make a distinction between the funnel case in this situation? Why would the funnel case be asr derabanan, but not this case? Yes, that's exact word that we're going to use. Excellent. Wow, okay. And good social distancing in Rabbi Olba, I'm sure. Fine. Correct. That was almost the exact term we're going to use. That the second approach, which the Achronim use, is going to hold like this. That the Isser D'Rabbanan was not any act of using a kli to perform brera, to carry out the brera with a kli. The Isser D'Rabbanan was to facilitate and to cause the separation with the kli. If you use a kli to facilitate and to contribute to the brera process, the actual separation, that is Isser D'Rabbanan. But if the kli is not facilitating the separation, you're just deciding to use it as a medium. You decide to use an intermediary. You decide to use the kli. But it's not facilitating the brera. You're causing the brera. That's not Isser D'Rabbanan. So when it comes to the case with the funnel, based on its design, is helping facilitate the brayer process. Since it's slanted and it's tilted, whatever the exact nature of the funnel is, when you shake the funnel, because of the nature of the funnel itself, that's contributing to the brayer process. That's why that's asr derabanan. But in our case, with the beer barrel, that's not the situation. When you pour out the beer from the beer barrel, the sediment stays behind. The beer barrel itself is not contributing to the brayer process. It's not facilitating the brayera. The brayer is a function of your hands and gravity. You're tilting your hands. Gravity is helping out a little bit here. The beer goes down. The sediment stays behind. That's the cause of the brayer. The gorim of the brayer in this case is the person. It's not the vessel. The vessel is not contributing to the actual separation itself. He's using it. He's deciding to do it through the means of the vessel. But the brayer itself is caused by the kli. It is caused by the person. Therefore, that's not asr derabanan. So that's the basic hesber we're having here in issue one, which we're going to see now a very practical nafka minhag halacha. In issue one, that was coming down to a machlokis as to the gather of the Isser D'Rabbanan. The Havin of the Magen Avraham was that anytime you carry out the Brera with the Kli, it's Isser D'Rabbanan. The Maskana was that it's only to facilitate the Brera with the Kli, where the Kli contributes to the Brera process, to the separation, that's Isser D'Rabbanan. All right, did you have a question? We good? Okay, fine. Now there's a major nafkamina halacha in this machlokas, which we're just going to point out right now. The Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Aleph was asked a kasha, a very practical question, and he paskened it based on our analysis here in issue one. So I'll say the kasha that was asked the Minchas Yitzchak, and we'll see if someone here could tell us what his psak was, can guess what his psak was based on our analysis. The question he was asked was very simply, can you use a fork on Shabbos? Can you separate a mixture with a fork on Shabbos? If you have a tarovis on Shabbos, you separate the mixture with a fork. Is that a problem or not? What's the issue? The issue is borer. That in this situation, maybe we're lacking in condition number one. A fork is a kli. Fork is an instrument. If you use your fork to separate the mixture, maybe that should be lacking condition number one. Maybe that should be an issue of meleches borer. So that was the kasha that was asked to the Minchas Yitzchak. And he paskened it based on our analysis here. Does anyone want to tell us what was his pasak on this issue? Please be makel, because we want to use a fork this Shabbos. Okay, so he paskened that it was mutter. He paskened that a fork is mutter, because the maskana in our sugya is that the only problem of using a kli is if it's facilitating the brayer. If the kli is contributing to the actual separation, then there's a problem. If you just use the kli, so we paskin not like the Havmin of the Magen Avraham, that's perfectly fine. And so in this situation, if you're using a fork, typically the silverware serving implements are not typically contributing to the brayer process. You're just using it for etiquette, or so your hands don't get dirty, or to help you reach something, but they're not being done to facilitate the brayer process, and therefore typically it's perfectly permissible. Ramosha also says this in Igros Moshe, that typically the silverware is perfectly fine if it's not contributing to the brayer process. Ramosha does point out that if the kalim, if the utensils would be facilitating the Breira. If you can come up with a case, there are some cases where maybe the thin edge of a spoon perhaps could be helping to do a fine act of separation in a liquid. So these cases do come up. So then there would be an issue midrabanan. But in a typical case, we're using silverware. So that's not the case. You're using it for etiquette or your hands don't get dirty, etc. Or the food's too hot. So therefore, it's typically not going to be a problem of borer based on this analysis. Fine. So that concludes issue number one. Fine. Any questions? We're good? Anyone want to be machmer on the fork, Shaila? Not recommended. Dr. Plowd? So assuming you're doing it with kavana, someone just asked me this tonight, if assuming you're doing it with kavana, that the fork would kind of hop up the peas and the rice would fall through the holes in the fork, if that's why you're doing it, so maybe there could be an issue. You're just doing it circumstantially. Okay, so Shlomo Zalman does say that. Shlomo Zalman does say that. Yeah, so Shlomo Zalman does give such a svara. I'm pointing out just the Igros Moshe and the Minchas Yitzchak, they pass on the issue based on our analysis. So that's why I'm giving this way of approaching the issue. That's another as far as point out. Okay, fine. Yeah, Mordechai. Right. So that would seem to be an issue. That is miyuchad for separating. That would seem to be an issue in a typical circumstance, especially if that's your kavana to separate out the liquid and chop the food. That would certainly seem to be an issue. Yes, absolutely. Okay. So let's move over now to issue number two. So our second issue. So let's zero in now on issue number two. This is the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Shulchan Aruch Rav was telling us that in our case where you pour the beer and leave behind the sediment, so this is an issue of borer because we're lacking condition number two. In this case, we consider it like you're removing the sediment from the mixture. You're kind of shaking off the beer and pulling out the sediment, and therefore you're taking out the psolas. The Magen Avraham argues, other Achronim argue and say that no, we view it like you're pulling out the beer. Since you're pouring out the beer, that's the item that's being removed from this mixture, and so you're taking out the ochel from this mixture. And the question becomes, what's the hesber in that machlokas? And this also is going to have major ramifications lahalacha. Okay, so yeah, Dr. Plow. Good. Okay, that's an interesting analysis of this issue. We're going to take the first half and build on it a little bit. So the classic way of explaining this issue is to say as follows, that like this. So this is going to get down to another practical issue that comes up revolving around condition number two. In light of the fact that we have our second condition, that when you take out the ochel, it's mutter. You take out the psolus, it's aser. So now we have to figure out how to determine when do we consider taking out the ochel, when do we consider taking out the psolus. Obviously, in a typical case, if you just actively pull out one item, so the thing that you pull out is what you're removing from the terovis. But the issue becomes in our case, where you're pouring out one and leaving behind the other, like Dr. Plow just said. So how do we determine, what's the determining factor in to define which component is being removed from the mixture? So it goes like this. The Magen Avraham, and probably most Achronim, understand that the determining component, the determining factor that is koveya, the component being removed from the mixture, is movement. The item that you're moving out of the mixture. The item that you're moving out of the mixture is what we consider to be removed from the mixture. So in a typical case where you pull one item with your hand actively out of a mixture, since you're moving it out of the taroves, that's why we consider that to be the item removed from the mixture. And working with that understanding, in our case, if you pour the beer out of the mixture, the sediment stays behind. Since you're moving the beer out of the mixture, you're causing that to move out of the mixture. That's why the beer is the component we consider to be removed from the mixture. That's the shita of the Magen Avraham. Dr. Platt had another interesting approach based on the kavana, but that would be one way of understanding the issue. It's based on movement. What's the shita of the Shulchan Aruch Rav? So once again, this is based on what Dr. Platt just said. The Shulchan Aruch Rav is going to hold that the koveya of what's leaving the tarovis is not based on movement, it's based on what you're grasping. It's based on what the person is grasping. And so in a typical situation, if you pull an item out of the mixture, since you're grasping that item, we consider that to be the item that's being removed from the mixture. And coming over to our situation, so now things are going to come out quite differently. If you're pouring out the beer and leaving behind the sediment, so in this case, you're actually grasping the sediment. The beer is being poured off. You're holding onto the barrel, which is containing the sediment. You're grasping the sediment. And so therefore, that's why he thought that you should go by the sediment. He's koveya, the item that's leaving the tarobas, based on your grasp. Whatever you're grasping is what we view it like you're pulling that out. The other item is kind of being shaken off. You're grasping this. You're kind of pulling out the sediment. The beer gets shaken off. And that's why he goes by the sediment based on your grasp. That's the basic hesber in this machlokas. Are we koveya based on the movement, the item that's moving out of the mixture? Is that the item being removed from the tarovis? Or are we koveya based on your grasp, the item that you're grasping? Is that the item that's leaving the tarovis? Now, this issue also has major ramifications lahalacha. I'm just going to point out one example of many practical issues, ramifications of this machlokas. So one practical issue is like this. Let's say you decide to open up a yogurt on Shabbos or some sour cream, and at the top, there's an accumulation of liquid. So you don't want to have that liquid with your yogurt, so you want to just pour off the liquid so you can eat the yogurt. So is that a problem or not on Shabbos? What's the issue? The issue is melachas borer, that the liquid is undesirable, that's the psolus. The yogurt is ochel, this would seem to constitute a mixture. The liquid is mixed together with the ochel, the yogurt and the liquid are mixed together. When you pour off the liquid, so you're separating the liquid from the yogurt, maybe there should be an issue of melachas borer. Now, obviously, if this satisfies our three conditions, it'll be mutter, but if it doesn't, it's going to be usser. And the issue is going to be condition number two. The question is, does this satisfy condition number two? When you pour off the liquid at the top of this container of yogurt, so are we going to view this like you're pulling out the psolus from this mixture, in which case it's going to be usser? Do we view it like you're pulling out the ocha from this mixture, which is going to be permissible? So that's the practical issue that comes up. And this is going to be an afkamina in this machlokas. And on this issue, the shitas are actually going to flip. So let's spell out the two shitas. Starting out with the shita of the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham holds that we're koveya, the item leaving the tarobas based on movement. Whatever you're moving out of the tarobas is what we consider you to be separating out of the mixture. So although he was makel by the beer, in this case, he's going to be machmir. If you pour off this accumulation of liquid, since you're moving the liquid out of the mixture, this psolus, you're moving it out of the mixture, so we view it like you're removing the psolus from this mixture, we're going to be lacking in condition number two. The Magen Avraham actually spells this out, that in this situation, he doesn't talk about yogurt, he talks about pouring off like fat or shuman, some undesirable floating substance. He says it's going to be a problem, because in this case, you're removing the psolus from this mixture, we go based on movement, and therefore, we're lacking condition number two. On the other hand, moving over to the shita of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, so although he was machmir by the beer, he's mekel in this situation. The Shulchan Aruch Harav spells out that in this type of case, if you have psolus floating on top and you pour it out of your container, we're going to be mekel, because we're going to satisfy condition number two. We're koveya based on your grasp. In this case, he's grasping the yogurt. He's pouring off the liquid and grasping the yogurt being the ochel. So we view it like we're separating the ochel from this mixture, and therefore we satisfy condition number two. And in addition to the other two conditions, this will then become permissible. So that is just a very practical example of this machlokas. This also can play out by tea bags. If you pull out a bag of tea from your tea, so that the tea and the tea leaves are separating, so you have another similar situation where the liquid is going down, the tea leaves are remaining in your hand, and we can have an issue there as well, as if that would be an issue of melachas borer. So just pointing out that there are a lot of practical issues that come up with this second issue as well. So with that, we've concluded tonight's shiur. So let's just do a quick 30-second synopsis, and then we'll point out the halacha lamaisa, which we basically pointed out, but just to spell it out. So tonight we were refining our first two conditions of melachas borer. Last week we did the third condition of immediacy. Tonight our goal was to refine the first condition of kli and the second condition of ochel mitoch psolas. So we went to the Gemara and Kuflam Tesom and Beis. We saw that in principle pouring out beer from the sediment would be a problem if they're mixed together. If they're not mixed, there's no problem. But if they would have been mixed, there's a problem. Why is it a problem? Three approaches. Magen Avraham and his Havina thought it's lacking condition one. It's separating by means of a kli. The second approach, Shulchan Aruch Harav, is lacking condition two. You're taking out the psolas. The third approach was the Magen Avraham Lamaskana, lacking condition number three, because the case was just, it wasn't done for immediate use, which Dr. Plout said was not a nukimta, which is a good point. And our two issues of analysis were revolving around the first two approaches. The first issue was the Hezber and the first Machlokas, is it called separating by means of a kli or not? That was an issue of how to define the Isser de Rabbanan of separating by means of a kli. the having of the Magen Avraham was anytime you use a kli to carry out the Breyer, it's also the Rabbanan. The Maskana was that it was, as Mr. Cohen had said, to facilitate the Breyer with the kli, that's the Isser de Rabbanan, mamish, the exact term that the Achorim use. And so therefore, in this case, it's not facilitating the Breyer, it's perfectly fine. We pointed out the Nafkamina Alacha was the use of a fork, in a typical case. And the second issue was the Shulchan Aruch Harav. The machlokus was, do we consider like you're moving the beer or like you're moving the sediment from this mixture in terms of this condition number two? And that came down to whether you go by the movement or based on what you're grasping, which in this case, the movement is the beer, you're grasping the sediment. And we point that the nafkamina in that machlokus is, what if you flip the case where you pour out some psoles, like the liquid floating on top of your yogurt, you're grasping the yogurt, which is the ochel, you're pouring out the psoles, which is the liquid, the liquid is moving, but the grasp is on the ochel. So just to point out the halach lamaisa, in terms of the first issue, everyone is very much recommended to use a fork this Shabbos. You're probably going to get kicked out of your Shabbos table if you don't. And in terms of the second issue, so it's actually an interesting machlokas. I haven't seen a clear-cut psak on the second issue. It sounds like most achronim do not go like the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that most achronim go more like the Magen Avraham. But it seems like there are shitas that the Eglei Tal goes like the Shulchan Aruch Harav. So everyone's recommended to ask their contemporary posik about that issue. Their chumras and kulas both ways. One sheet is not necessarily more machmer than the other. It's just a question of which way to go in determining these issues. Thank you very much for joining us. The Mirtz Hashem will have one last shir to finish up Melachas Borer, which will be after Shavuos, and then we'll be up to Tochein. Mishkayach. Thank you very much.